Now let's begin.
Listener, and welcome to Trek 1701. This is the Star Trek podcast done by Star Trek fans. My name is Chris Lockhart. I'm your host, and I'm not here alone. I have the Trek 1701 crew here with me. First up, we have Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Well, good. Hello, everyone.
Next up, we have Richard Szabo. How's it going, Rich?
Not too shabby. Ready to get into some Enterprise chats.
Excellent. And last but not least, we have Curtis Holloway. How's it going, Curtis?
I just left a massage, so I'm fantastic.
Perfect. Excellent. So yeah, for this episode, we are talking about the television series, which was originally called just Enterprise for the first two seasons, and then they rightfully put Star Trek in front of it. Star Trek Enterprise. So we're going to go around the table, and I got some questions for the panel, and then we'll talk about Enterprise just overall. My first question to you guys is, what's your first memories of Enterprise? Did you watch it, you know, right from the beginning, or is it something that you caught on Netflix, or what was your first memories of Enterprise? From initial watching to your first impressions. Ragnar, what's your first memories of Enterprise?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I did not like Enterprise the first time I watched it. Not at all. It actually took me 3 tries to get all the way through season 1 over the course of several years. On the 3rd try, the most recent try, I didn't hate it for the first time. I did find, in particular, season 1 at times quite slow.
Yes.
And the pacing was slow. There wasn't a whole lot of action. And I wasn't super in love with lots of the crew. So I, at first, did not like Enterprise, warmed up a little bit, but it really wasn't until I got into almost maybe the end of season 2 and into season 3 that I finally went, oh, I like this show. It took me a long time, and then, you know, season 3 was pretty good. Season 4 was really good, and then there was no more. So it feels to me like it took too long to get going, and then just as it got going, it got scrapped.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's unfortunate.
Richard, same question. Your first memories of Enterprise.
My first memories are a little bit fuzzy, but I do remember that initially I had, just ignored it. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just get to it, because I wasn't, like, at the time, I wasn't super, you know, really interested. I was like, yeah, you know. And then I did watch it, and just like when I first watched Star Trek Next Generation, the first season was a bit slow, and all those new characters, and I enjoyed it for the most part. There's going to be some, you know, bad episodes, just like with every series. But I don't remember a time where I, like, disliked it. I just didn't go straight after it when it first came out. And then when I watched it again this past year, I
really enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I'm hearing some feedback. Oh, now it's gone. Okay. I was hearing some feedback there, but Curtis, same question to you. Your first memories of Enterprise.
Well, very much like Ragnar, I can't remember when exactly I first gave it an attempt, but coming from the generation that grew up with the 90s Star Treks, the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, it was a little jarring at first, as I'm sure it was for most people. It was like, this isn't the same as our proven formula that we've come to know and love. This is what's wrong with these uniforms. Why are they eating a T-bone steak? You know, where's the Hasper at? What's going on? And it was just a little bit of a change, a lot of a change that I wasn't prepared for. And so I, like many people, it didn't grow on me at first. But, you know, years later, I finally gave it a chance again because I bloody watched everything else on Netflix. So I was like, okay, fine, let's give it a try. And, yeah, same as Ragnar. The first season was kind of like, okay, this is slow and different, but I guess I'll give it a chance. You know, it wouldn't be a Star Trek if the first season wasn't a little disjointed. But upon the second or third time, I can't remember which, watching the series, yeah, I really, really did love it. Except for the ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first memories of Enterprise. I remember. You know, like, cause I watched it when it first aired, initially, up until the end of season two. Season three, I did not get into. during its initial run, not. Because I didn't like Enterprise. It's just that time in my life, I was like super busy. Like I moved like three times during that television season. I was dating my wife, or who was my girlfriend at the time. We got engaged. So we were planning our wedding. You know, I had my stepkids, you know, moving. I was a, you know, new dad type of thing. And that was the year that they did, like, the whole season arc, right? And I read about it, because back then, you know, like, I didn't have internet. I still got my information from Starlog and those type of magazines. And I knew they were doing the season-long arc. So I knew, like, I couldn't just jump in. So season four, when I was reading about it, I heard that they were going back to doing, you know, shorter arcs, you know, one episode or, you know, maybe a two-parter, maybe a three-parter, that type of thing. So I got back into it in season four, and I agree, I think it was Ragnar that said it, that season four was really good, but then it was a little too little, oh, yeah, I'm tongue-toasted here, a little too late.
Too little, too late.
Too little, too late. That's what I wanted to say.
I think a lot of women say that to me.
Because, yeah, like, season four, I really think was a good, solid season. A lot of great things about it. But I think, you know, because this was on a network, this was on UPN at the time, you know, they were looking at the, you know, last year's numbers. And I think, like I said, like myself, I jumped off season three, and I think a lot of people did at the time. So they were looking at, you know, the last year's ratings, and were like, yeah, we're not going to renew this thing. So by the time it actually started, you know, getting really good, they pulled the plug on it, which sucked. But yeah, it took, you know, season three was really good. Like like when I did my rewatch, I actually really enjoyed it. But yeah, those first two seasons, it I think is really what killed it. It was just too slow to get going. Like TNG got going in season three, you know. Whereas I think, like I said, because of the story they were telling in season three, I think a lot of people jumped ship. Because back then, like nowadays, the way television works, like, you know, most shows do a whole season arc, right? Like that, like we're just used to that now. But back then, that didn't really happen. It was usually like one and done, right? And Enterprise up until that point had been pretty much one and done, you know. You know, maybe the occasional two-part episode, but, you know, that's it, right? And I think, unfortunately, you know, they lost a lot of viewers, and UPN was looking at it, and, you know, with the cost that it took to make the show, unfortunately, you know, they lost and were canceled. But I think had they known what we know now, they would have kept that show going. You know, like that show could have went, you know, easy seven seasons with the momentum that they were going on in season four. It's just unfortunate. Like, they did a pretty good job in season four, like, telling the birth of the Federation, but it was a little rushed, you know, because at that point, like, halfway through the season, they knew, like, they got the word that they were canceled, so they were like, well, we gotta do this, like, this is what, like, that was the original pitch, was we were gonna see the beginnings of the Federation and all that. But one of the things that really drew me to the show is the fact that the captain was played by Scott Bakula. You know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, I was myself and my family, we used to watch Quantum Leap every week. It was, you know, a good time travel show, and really a good family show. You know, like that show, you know, it's about a guy traveling through time, putting right what once went wrong. You know, and so pretty much almost every episode ends on a happy note, you know, like it is a good family show. Like there's no swearing, there's no crazy violence or crazy sexuality. And it was a good family program. And Scott Bakula was, you know, the lead actor on that show. And I loved him on it. So when I heard that he was cast as the captain of Enterprise, I was super excited about that casting, because, like, honestly, like, I didn't know who Kate Mulgrew was going into Voyager, even Avery Brooks, like, I know, like, my parents knew who he was, because he was on Spencer for Hire, but I never watched Spencer for Hire, so I had no idea who Avery Brooks was, but I knew who Scott Bakula was, so I was super excited when they announced his casting. Everyone else had no clue who they were, but they grew on me. So, my next question for you guys, pretty much what brought us together was our mutual love for Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I think we've all established that was our favorite show. How does Enterprise fit in there for you guys? And how many times have you rewatched Enterprise? Ragnar. How does Enterprise rank for you, and how many times have you rewatched it?
I've only watched the entire series all the way through one time. Like I said, I had to stop and start on season one about mm-hmm. three times before I could get all the way through it.
Yeah.
I probably will rewatch the whole series, or perhaps even just seasons three and four again in the future, but probably not for a while. I would kind of rank it as DS9 is my favorite, then TNG, and then Voyager and Enterprise are kind of tied for me, with the disclaimer that I haven't watched Voyager since its original airing. So my opinion on Voyager may change when I rewatch it. And then I don't really put the original series in anywhere because it's so hard to compare it, because it was, you know, it was the first one and the technology was hokey. The effects were hokey. So, you know, it's a great show. There's some great stories, obviously some classic characters, but it's hard to even compare the original series to Next Gen. Like, it's so hard to compare them. And I kind of consider, like, Next Gen, DS9, Enterprise, and Voyager is Star Trek for me. That's sort of the four that I the universe that I spend the most of my Star Trek time in. And I did not like the new Star Trek series, any of them particularly.
No.
And the J.J. Abrams movies were so-so. There were elements of them that I really liked, and there were elements of them that I really disliked. But, yeah, for me, the Star Trek universe I live in would be TNG, DS9, Enterprise, and Voyager. That's kind of my Star Trek world.
Yep. Yep, agreed. Rich, how many times have you rewatched, and where does Enterprise fit in your ranking?
Well, like I said, I didn't right away get into Enterprise, and unfortunately, when I was younger, I only had Deep Space Nine and TNG and maybe Voyager on VHS. So I did this when I was young, the same as I do now, as I have like a rewatch sort of list that I go through every like year or two, and I watch everything that I love. And since the advent of like DVDs and Netflix and such, I've added Enterprise into my rewatch. So as I rewatch, I'll start with Enterprise. The original series, like Ragnar said, it's sort of like above and beyond. It's separate to me from the universe because of its just the way it is. I don't even have the time or the thought process to explain it right now, but Enterprise, TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise. But I have probably seen Enterprise more than Voyager, just because I rank it higher than Voyager. Mm-hmm. And for me, Deep Space Nine, obviously, number one. TNG, number two. And then number three for me is Enterprise. And then number four would be Voyager. And like Ragnar, I don't really have anything else past that. The new Star Trek series were not great, not good. You know, I don't want to be too cruel, but... And the movies... One and two were all right, like they're so-so, but I couldn't even follow the third one, so I don't even really count it. But yeah, that's how I rank Enterprise in there for me. I really like it. It's good.
Excellent. Curtis, how many times have you rewatched, and where does Enterprise rank for you?
I've seen all of Enterprise twice now, the last time being very recently, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And at risk of sounding like a broken record, I too tie it for third with Voyager. Deep Space Nine obviously being my favorite, Next Generation being second. I enjoy Enterprise and Voyager pretty much equally. There's some quibbles I have with each, but each is still enjoyable to watch and has its own sort of charm going on. Yeah, it's not much to say, really. It's all been said.
All right. Well, just to add to your charm comment, especially compared to the new Star Trek series, you know, like it's funny, like Voyager always ranked at the bottom of my list prior to Picard and Discovery. Now it looks so much better, you know, like it if anything, you know, this new Kurtzman Star Trek has made me appreciate Voyager more. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I have the luxury of never having seen a single second of Picard or Discovery.
So well, don't I, do I, it, man. Don't
I
do don't it.
I plan to. Nope. I'll watch TOS before. I haven't seen TOS either.
Oh, okay.
I've seen the movies, including extraordinarily long first one that took just forever to go nowhere.
Yeah.
So I have seen the movies, but I haven't watched the series.
Well, it takes a little while to get into it, but when you get into it, it gets good.
There's a comment, and I've been thinking about this when I was thinking about the ranking. I think it's on Futurama. I read it somewhere, and it was quoted from Futurama, that they're talking about the original series, and they said that the original series, 79 episodes, 3 seasons, 30 good episodes, 49 not good episodes. That's how they kind of broke it down. And I kind of agree with that. Like, cause there's some definite bombs in the original series, but there's definite gold. You know, City on the Edge of Forever, I think, is probably my favorite Star Trek episode of all time.
Yep.
And I mean, just the other night I watched the Doomsday Machine. Love the, especially like a few years ago, they, for the Blu-ray releases, they did a cut where they redid the special effects. It's so much better with modern-esque special effects. It's so cool. It's really cool.
I gotta jump in real quick with a question. What did that Doomsday Machine look like exactly?
Basically, it looks like a big bugle, like, you know, like the bugle chips.
That's what I thought, and I just wanted to say real quick, you totally fight that thing in Star Trek Online.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
There you go, Ragnar.
Because they don't know if it's a machine or if it's a being, and it comes from another galaxy. That's all they know. And it eats planets for fuel. But yeah, it looks like a big bugle. Like, anytime I eat bugles, I always look at one, and I'm imagining the Doomsday Machine.
Excellent. I had to find a way to fit Star Trek Online in tonight one time. Had to do it.
Excellent.
You were gonna.
All right. So for myself, after, you know, the series came to an end in 2005, I didn't rewatch the series until probably 2016 when it was on Netflix, and then I only watched a few episodes here and there. I pretty much watched all of season 4 again because I remembered it being my favorite season, and there were a few episodes that I had missed initially. So I, you know, back in 2016, went and rewatched it. So then when we, you know, started the Deep Space Nine discussion episodes, I, you know, we talked about, you know, the next series we wanted to talk about was Enterprise. So I went and started rewatching it. And yeah, that season one was, oh man, it was slow. It was such a slog to get through. You know, there's definitely some great episodes. But there were so many not so great episodes, and then I found that list online of what to watch, what to skip, and what to watch for continuity. Like, it broke it down, and it just seemed so much better. And it seemed like season 3 and 4 definitely had more watch episodes listed than the previous. It was definitely a show, according to this list, that got better with every season, because every season there's more episodes to watch and more to watch. As far as the ranking goes, DS9 is my favorite. TNG is a close second behind DS9. Yeah. TOS, the original series, is number three on my list, because the original series always has a special spot in my heart, because that was the series that made me a Star Trek fan. Like, I was watching the original series on CBC, you know, since I was a toddler, you know, like, my mom and dad would put it on, and the original Star Trek movies. My mom said when I was a little guy, she recorded the Wrath of Khan off the TV. And if she wanted me to be quiet and just, like, zone out, she would put it on. And I would just watch The Wrath of Khan as a little toddler. So, TOS always has a special place in my heart. Even though there's more bad episodes than good episodes, I appreciate what they were doing. And, like I said, I mean, this is even before Next Generation launched, I was watching, like, because I was born in 1980. So I was watching TOS. I didn't watch TNG until 89, until it was just starting its third season. Not that I had anything against TNG. It's just where we lived at the time. It wasn't on any of our channels. Because we had the old Farmer Vision. We had the old antenna. So all we got was CTV and CBC. So I was, you know, I watched the original series, you know, over and over again whenever they aired it. And then when we moved out to the family acreage, we could get Channel 13 on the acreage if we turned our antenna. And Channel 13 had, which is now Global Edmonton.
That was ITV back in the day, wasn't it?
Yep, ITV, gotcha. Yep. Channel 13.
I remember ITV. We had the Disney mornings on Saturdays.
Yep, Disney afternoon. Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, with Mike Sobel. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, like I didn't get into TNG until season 3. And then, of course, that was like the season where it really got going. So I really became a huge fan of TNG. Enterprise is right behind TOS, right behind it. You know, as close as DS9 and TNG are, TOS and Enterprise are pretty close too. And then Voyager. But each show has its own little gems. Like Voyager, I would say, was probably my favorite pilot episode of any Star Trek series. And it had, in my opinion, the second best season finale. Our second best cliffhanger in Star Trek, and that was season 2, the basics two-parter, where Voyager gets captured by the Kazon and they get marooned on that planet to end the season. So I mean, Voyager, you know, it was originally bottom of my list, but I mean, there's still a lot of good things about Voyager, you know, especially the cast, and then Picard and Discovery, or you know, whatever they are. But Enterprise, like I said, it's close with TOS. It really is. All right. So my next question for you guys is your favorite character. Not to be confused with your favorite actor, because your favorite actor might be, in my case, my favorite actor is different than my favorite character. So who is your favorite character on Star Trek Enterprise? Ragnar, who's your favorite character?
Well, for me, there's only three characters that I really like. I really like T'Pol. I think she's an interesting character. She's well played, and I think she's sexy as hell. I really like Trip. I think he's probably the best character on the show, so that's my pick. But I really like Dr. Phlox, too. I think he is a very weird and quirky and fascinating doctor.
Yeah.
So those three make the whole show for me. But, yeah, I'll pick Trip because I think he's the best part of the show.
Excellent. Richard, your favorite character?
My favorite main cast character... That's a tough one. It's kind of a toss-up between Dr. Phlox and Tucker, honestly. I really enjoy Scott Bakula as Archer, and I really like Paul. Mayweather's pretty good. Hoshi's pretty good. Malcolm Reed, like, Dominic Keating played Malcolm Reed pretty well. Like, he's a good actor, but just the personality of Malcolm Reed is not necessarily my favorite, so...
There was personality?
Hey, I'm just trying to be nice.
I'm just kidding. He was okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he was all right.
Shipmates complained of a lack of that.
Yeah.
For real. For real. Not sure if we're going to have another question regarding special guest stars, because I got a couple of favorites there, too.
All right, I'm putting it down. Putting it down. Special guest stars.
All right. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Phlox and Tucker. Tucker, because I really love the idea of, like, he was the first Warp 5 engineer, like, chief engineer on a starship, and he's just, him and Archer have such a great chemistry together, and they play well together, and then you throw in T'Pol, and it just kind of works. It was a little bit, like, at first it was, like, a little bit awkward, you know, they're new, and I liked that they played that, because it was, I think it was somewhat intentional. It was like this random, you know, science Vulcan officer. They didn't immediately show that friendship in Star Trek TOS. It was almost immediate. There was McCoy, Kirk, and Spock, and they were just more or less best friends already. So I like that there's the growth there, and I appreciate that.
Yep. Curtis, your favorite character?
Honorable mention to Porthos.
Yeah.
That dog's awesome. I mean, you gotta have some grit to be a beagle on a starship. I'm gonna have to Oh man, it's actually a tough toss up for me between Phlox and T'Pol. Obviously, they're both aliens, which is super cool because humans are kind of boring in the Star Trek universe. Let's face it. But they each brought something so freaking cool, and we'd never seen a Denobulan before, really. So that Phlox has that going for him.
Yep.
But T'Pol, while we have seen Vulcans before, we haven't seen these Vulcans before, and even those Vulcans hadn't really seen a T'Pol before. She's like this anomalous case among Vulcans that has this sort of appreciation and or fascination with humans. I haven't really figured that out yet, but she's like the progenitor of all the Vulcans that we would eventually come to know throughout the rest of Star Trek. So as cool as Phlox is, I kind of have to give it to T'Pol on this one.
Excellent. For me, I'm actually giving it to the guy that nobody seems to like. well, not as much, but Reed. And there's a reason behind why I like Malcolm Reed. Well, first off, is when we find out in season 4 he's part of Section 31, I was like, whoa, that is awesome. With my family, like I'm on the Lockhart side of my family, like, my great-grandpa was in the army for England, and my grandpa was in the army for Canada. Like, my great-grandpa actually fought in both world wars. World War One as a young, you know, I forget how old, 18 or 19-year-old. And then as a, you know, in his late 40s, he signed up for World War Two. So there's that military background, and with him being, you know, English and stuff, you know, it really kind of rang true with my family. Like, you know, because his family has that naval background, and his dad actually kind of looked down on him for joining Starfleet. He wanted him to be, you know, serving on a ship in the ocean, not in space. I always thought that was fascinating, and there's this, that mystery about him, you know, like when they're trying to, that episode when they're trying to figure out what his favorite food was, and they couldn't, and then Phlox had to figure it out by, I forget how he figured it out, but anyway, close second is Tucker. I love Tucker. You know, he's funny, he's charismatic, he's just an all-around cool guy, you know? And they did him dirty in that final episode. Man, that pissed me off. But anyway.
Definitely.
Let's not get into that. That might be its own episode, that final episode. All right, so my next question is your favorite actor. Or actress. Ragnar, your favorite actor or actress?
In Enterprise?
Enterprise, yeah.
Well, it's basically the same answer for me. You know, I really, really enjoyed the performances from, you know, Trip and from T'Pol and from Phlox, so probably one of them. I like Scott Bakula. I think he's a good actor, but I found especially in seasons 1 and 2, he was very wooden, and he was kind of, it almost felt like he was like disassociated from stuff that was happening. Like, he never seemed particularly passionate or concerned about things. And it wasn't until season 3 that he got a little darker, he got a little more emotional, and then I was like, whoa, now I like Captain Archer, and then the series ends, and that's that. But, the same three for me. That'd be my pick.
All right, Richard, your favorite actor?
Man, they're all, like, pretty good actors, and a special shout-out to Anthony Montgomery, who was just a super cool dude in person.
Curtis and I had a chance to just have a real quick chat with him at Burger King. Super good guy. Good actor, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, we were staying at the Rio in Vegas for the Star Trek convention down there. And we ordered our Whoppers at the BK Burger Bar. And just plonk, there's Travis Mayweather right beside us.
Nice.
Like, oh, hi. Sorry to cut you off there, Richard.
That's cool. Good.
Man, it's tough. I'd have to go, as far as like good acting and enjoyable performances, I'm going to toss up between Connor Trinneer and John Billingsley. My boy Phlox.
He was pretty darn great.
Yep. And he's one of those that I see him in other, like he was in True Blood. And he's in a few other random shows here and there. And
he was in the Orville, man.
Yes, he was. With Robert Picardo.
Yeah, man. Two of the best doctors put together. It was awesome.
Yeah.
He's also in the 2012 movie.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Curtis, your favorite actor, sir?
Well, again, like Richard, I'm guessing we're talking about main ensemble here.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to Phlox's actor. I'm sorry, I don't remember any of their names. I don't know who else they could have gotten to play Dr. Phlox. You know? His whole personality kind of stems from the facial expressions, his inflections of things. He's got this weird quirkiness about him that I think you really need to find, like, the right person to play that sort of character.
Yep.
So honorable mention. But I'm probably going to have to go with Scott Bakula, actually. While I agree with Ragnar that at first he was seemed kind of wooden and sort of, I don't even know how to put my finger on it, but he was something that sort of came off a little weird. But then, yeah, as it goes on, we realize he's, you know, deeper than a glass of water, which is nice. And we start to see, you know, some character flaws coming out. A little bit of that side that was willing to do stuff that's sort of beyond the norm, kind of in a almost like a Captain Sisko sort of way. You know, where it's like, well, this is what we need to get done, and the only way we can get it done is a little dirty, so I guess we're going to have to do it. I really like that quality that came out in them later on. So, yeah, going to go with Bakula for bringing that out in them.
Excellent. I'm going with Scott Bakula as well, just based on what I said earlier. You know, huge Quantum Leap fan. I was super excited that he took on the role. And I kind of appreciated the way he played Archer in the beginning, because it was very, in my opinion, it was very reminiscent of what Gene Roddenberry was trying to do with Captain Pike in that original pilot for Star Trek. You know, like he played a captain that was kind of detached from the crew. Like Picard was kind of detached, but also wasn't.
Yeah.
but Archer was kind of like that. And I kind of appreciated that. But yeah, no, like what you're saying, Ragnar, like season three, you know, when, you know, we see like the passion of him wanting to stop this weapon, and the things he's willing to do, like it really let Bakula show his acting chops. But I just wanted to mention, I was going to mention this when we were talking about the favorite characters. Maybe one of the reasons why I also like Malcolm Reed is, out of all the Enterprise cast, he's the only one I've actually met. Dominic Keating. He came to Vulcan.
That's right.
2016, I want to say.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I got my picture taken with him. Super nice guy. A lot smaller than myself. You know, I'm kind of an ogre. I didn't realize how he's not super tiny or anything, but he's definitely, you know, a skinny guy and shorter than I am. But yeah, super nice guy, like really, really friendly. And I've seen interviews with him, and he seems like he's a he's one of them Star Trek actors that I think really appreciated being on Star Trek, and he seems to really appreciate the fans. So I like that about him. You know, not to downplay anyone else, but you know, it just, I don't know, it just seems in interviews that Dominic Keating's just like beaming, you know, with
enjoyment. Sort of like that Garrett Wong vibe a little bit.
Yeah, kinda.
Man, I love Garrett Wong. He's such a cool guy, like in person.
He is.
He really is. Very gracious with his time.
And it was just so fun because it was like every con in Western Canada I went to for like 2 years in a row, he was either at as a guest or crashed.
Yep.
And same with the Vegas conventions. I think he was at both the ones that I went to, if I'm not mistaken.
He was definitely there when the year I came to Vegas.
Well, for one thing, he lives in Vegas part time, and the other part time he lives in Calgary. Because that's where his girlfriend or fiance. I'm not sure. They may be married now. I'm not exactly sure. And I got it somewhere in the data bank somewhere. I got to find it. He was actually on the original Trek 171 podcast. I actually got to interview him.
Damn.
Yeah, I want to say 2015 maybe. Because one of my co-podcasters at the time, Lily, she's actually friends with his girlfriend. So she was able to set it up. So actually, cool. I actually did three podcasts with him, technically. The first podcast I did with him was he was just ghosting. Like he was on the line with because his girlfriend was on the podcast episode with us. Mm-hmm. So he was just sitting there listening to us because he wanted to like get to know us without actually us knowing he was there. But I knew he was there. Mm-hmm. And then we recorded one episode when I can't repeat it, but he said some revealing things. And then after we finished recording it, he actually messaged me and was like, we can't use that. You know, I can get in trouble. So we re-recorded it a second time. So actually I've recorded with him three times, but only aired one. But yeah, super nice guy. Super nice guy. And yeah, when you meet him in person, like I've met him a couple times at conventions and stuff. And yeah, just great. All right, so special guest actor. Who's your favorite special guest actor? Ragnar. Who did you like?
Boy. This is legit actually a tough one for me because mm-hmm. there's two. I really like seeing Jeffrey Combs with the funny little antennas waving around on his forehead.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed seeing, blanking on his real name, Martok.
Oh.
J.G. Hertzler.
Thank you, J.G. Yeah. I love seeing him as a Klingon again. So those would be my two. Flip a coin, pick one.
he was on as another Klingon too, right? Like he was on when the Augments took the Bird of Prey. Wasn't he playing the Klingon commanding that ship too?
Uh-huh. I do believe so, yeah.
I think so. But yeah, great choice. Richard, you're favorite special guest or favorites if you have more than one.
You know what, I gotta give a special shout out to Vaughn Armstrong because he was great at Max Forrest and Maximilian Forrest, which is kind of weird. I don't know all the first names of all the other people who were from the Mirror Universe, but in Prime Universe, he was Maxwell, and in Mirror Universe, he was Maximilian. So I thought that was very interesting. Also, special shout-out to Brent Spiner for Eric Soon.
Yep.
Well done.
Yeah, that was fun.
But you know what? I love Jeffrey Combs, of course, and he was amazing. But John Fleck as Silic just killed it. The entire series.
Yes.
The entire series.
Straight up.
Silic killed it, and I loved it. It was great. And, so, yeah, I'd say Silic.
And honestly, I think they did him dirty, too. You know, like, because he basically died at the end of the part two of the season four premiere, right? Like, we never saw him again after that. And yeah, like, I'm just going to jump in and say he was my favorite. Because it was kind of like when you watch The X-Files and the Smoking Man shows up and you know it's going to be a good episode. That was how I felt about him. When Silic showed up, I was like, oh, shit. You know, it's getting real now. And, yeah, I just love the way he talks. And, you know, it was cool. It really was. Curtis, your favorite special guest star. Oh, and Jeffrey Combs, too, of course.
Well, like everyone else, I too have to pay homage to Jeffrey Combs, one of my absolute, probably my favorite actor from Deep Space Nine. Who didn't like Shred? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to give this one to René Auberjonois.
Mm.
He was in one episode, and it was some ship. It looked like it was a derelict or something. Anyway, there was something weird where these people couldn't leave this ship, and it was, geez, I just can't remember the details of the episode.
It was a downed transport ship, and most of the crew, aside from Renee and his daughter, were holograms.
Right. Hmm. So, yeah, I gotta hand it to Odo on that one.
That's crazy.
It's nice to see him out of his usual skin in Star Trek, you know?
That's crazy. I think I gotta rewatch that episode. That must have been one that I skipped. I don't remember. To me, that sounds like that Deep Space Nine episode where Odo and Jadzia go to that planet and everyone's a hologram except for the one old guy.
Same concept.
Yeah. Huh. Crazy. All right. So I got two more questions for you guys. This next one's a bit of a downer, but I think we need to go there. What didn't you like on Enterprise? What was something that you just couldn't get your head around, or something that always kind of bugged you about it? Ragnar, what didn't you like about Enterprise?
Well, there's two things I particularly didn't like about it. I found, and I mentioned this already, in particular, season one and two were really slow. Hmm. The pacing was slow. The story unfolding was slow. The character development was slow. And at times, it really dragged. The other thing I didn't like, and I have this quibble with basically any time they try to go and do a prequel to an existing franchise, it doesn't sync up.
Mm.
You can't watch Enterprise and then watch the original series. It doesn't work. The technology on Enterprise looks completely different and, in my opinion, more advanced. The costumes are different. The aliens are different. So you can't watch Enterprise and then watch original series. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
However, if you pull the original series out, you could totally watch Enterprise and then watch Next Gen and be like, wow, look how far they've come. And that totally does sync up.
Yeah.
But it always annoys me when they do prequels if it doesn't match the existing franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as an example, I'm a pretty big fan of Breaking Bad. I think that's a phenomenal show, and I'm really enjoying Better Call Saul. However, all of the actors have aged 10 to 12 years, and it's hard to believe that this is supposed to be them as young people when they're clearly much older.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's a good enough show that I don't care.
Yeah. It's a good enough show that we let it go. But in particular, Mike is like, man, he's getting old. Anyways, so those would be my two biggest complaints with the show. Season one and two, really slow, really dragged. And then it doesn't sync up with the original series. But, yeah.
All right, I just got to add a couple things. Going off on a tangent, Better Call Saul. Wouldn't it be awesome to meet Mike? I'm blanking on the actor's name.
Ehrmantraut.
Yeah, his last name, like Mike Ehrmantraut, is the character. But I can't think of the actor's name.
Character.
I can't think of his name, but I'll look it up.
But I just
Space Nine episode two.
Yes, he was. Yep.
Ehrmantraut was
Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks, yes.
He's fantastic. I've seen him in other stuff. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I think he's one of those actors that I would love to meet, and he would just be so interesting to talk to.
Oh, I bet, man.
And then, yeah.
Oh, that would be
cool. I want to say about the syncing up. Like, you're absolutely right, Ragnar. Like, yeah, if you just watched Enterprise and then went right into TNG, it would seem pretty seamless.
Yeah.
Someone did a video, and I just watched this the other day. It's like 30 sec. It's a 30-second clip. What this person did is they took original series footage of the bridge, of Kirk and Spock and them walking around and talking. And what they did is they Photoshop in a set that kind of looks like Enterprise, like that same sort of aesthetic. You know, like the panels look the same and all that. Kirk's chair looks like kind of like Archer's chair, and it's amazing. Like it's so cool. But I imagine that 30-second clip probably took like 3 or 4 months to make. So I know they're not gonna do that. But maybe one day, we will have the technology where we could do that more effortlessly. And I would love for them to do that for the original series, to make it. Because, like I said, like when they did this Blu-ray release, they redid the special effects, and it's awesome. But then they go back to the original footage of them on the bridge, right? But I mean, they've cleaned it up. Like when you see Kirk looking at the view screen, it's a modern view. Like it's like something you would see on Deep Space Nine. It doesn't look as bad. But if they would, redo the bridge, it would be awesome. Rich, what didn't you like of Envoy? Enterprise.
It's true. It was a little bit slow to start. And I kind of like accept that as a Star Trek thing. But I think one of the episodes that I really didn't like, and for some reason I just did not wrap my head. I understand the concept, but there was an episode where they found two frozen in time Borg. That really annoyed me, I guess. Like, I get that you want to, throw in some homage / like, that version of continuity, but I just didn't like it. Didn't gel with me. And that was my biggest, issue, I guess, with Enterprise. I'm sure if I really thought about it, I could figure something out, but I don't really have any, major quibbles, I guess. Like, it really showed the direction that the Vulcan people went and how they were initially so, distrustful of humans, and then they found the Katara something... I forget what it's called now, but they found Katra. Not the Katra, that's the spirit, but they found the holy grail of Surak's teachings. The Kishara. It's called a Kishara. And yeah, so that was all really cool and all, but that was the one thing that really stood out for me that I just didn't like.
Speaking of the Katra, I love that little touch. And I never noticed it when I originally saw it, but I noticed it on this rewatch. When Archer was carrying Surak in him, and then, when Surak left, he still remembered the things that Surak knew and stuff. So he was able to, kind of teach T'Pol like how to do a mind meld. I thought that was so cool because it's kind of like Picard, you know how he remembers what Sarek shared with him, right? I just love those little touches. Curtis, what didn't you like about Enterprise?
Well, I am with Richard. The Borg thing really bothered me, but if I had to pick one thing, it would be the timing of its cancellation. We talked about it before, but man, talk about a missed opportunity. There was so much more they could have done with plenty of the things they'd already introduced. I wanted to see more with the augments and with Soom. And like, I really enjoyed those episodes. I wanted to see more of that. Like, what sort of trouble they're going to make for him in the future kind of thing. Just the missed opportunities is what I dislike the most, other than the ending, of course.
And I kind of...
But that's so fantastically bad, I figured we were going to talk about it all by itself at some point. So.
Yeah, we will, definitely. I was, like, I remember when that initially aired, like, that three-part episode with Brent Spiner. And, yeah, they definitely could have came back to him. Like, he could have been, like, a recurring character that shows up every once in a while. But for me, yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with the Borg thing. That was just kind of annoyed me. Because, you know, and then they sent a transmission to the Delta Quadrant, and, you know, it'll be like 200 years before they come. So they kind of set it up that they're the reason why the Borg came in Best of Both Worlds, like why they were on their way to the Federation, because like, they were already aware of it.
Yeah, but Q already set that up in TNG.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
It didn't really need clarifying. No, they were like, here, let us clarify.
Yeah.
No, don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was always my belief that the reason why Q did what he did in season two of TNG, you know, by snapping his fingers and throwing them, into deep space and encountering the Borg, I think he did that on purpose. I think he did that to give them, and I mean, he kind of said so in that episode. To give them a warning of you know, like, you guys, you know, you think you're ready, but you don't know what's out there. You don't know the terrors that are waiting
for you. Reality check.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the impression I got.
And I mean, that encounter gave them over a year to prepare, right? So, you know, I think Q did it for a good reason. I think he actually, in a way, saved humanity, because they probably would have been assimilated had they not encountered them when they did. But what I didn't like, well, the first thing, and actually Richard actually clarified this, I think on our last episode that we recorded, about the Enterprise and how does it fit into continuity? Because that always bugged me, because it was always, you know, when you're on the TNG observation lounge, whether it was, you know, in season 1, 2, or 3 of TNG, or, you know, in Star Trek First Contact, I never saw a model of the NX-01 in the observation lounge. But Richard explained it, that it was a prototype. It was a prototype starship. That's why it was NX. It wasn't NCC. So, because we were talking about the Defiant, and how, you know, it always kind of bugged me on Deep Space Nine that it wasn't NCC, you know, 1717C or whatever, to coincide with the original Defiant that we saw in the original series. But it was a prototype, just like the NX-01. So they're their own, you know, class and breed of ship until they become part of the fleet, which... You know, by the time Starfleet was, you know, designating ships NCC, Enterprise was probably retired out of service. The NX-01, that is.
Maybe, but I mean, there was an NX-02, so there was more than one. But it's also the ship that founded the Federation. You would think it would have some kind of homage or acknowledgement somewhere.
Yeah. So,
especially in the quarters of the captain of the Enterprise. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is that. But, I mean, Richard's explanation about the prototype thing kind of made a little better for me, to be honest with you. But I agree with you as well, Curtis. Which is why...
Russell's this thing, sure.
Which is why, like, and I've said this for years. First of all, the thing I didn't like about the show, first up, is they calling it Enterprise for the first two seasons. It was almost like the creators were embarrassed that they were Star Trek or something. It should have been Star Trek Enterprise from day one. So I'm glad when they changed that in season three. And I always thought the ship should have been called the Yorktown. Because that was Gene Roddenberry's original name for the original Enterprise. It was originally going to be the Yorktown. But NBC didn't like the name, so he changed it to the Enterprise. So I wish the title of the show was... and not named after the ship. I wish the title of the show could have been like Star Trek First Voyages or Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which is what the Pike show is going to be called. I wish it had a different title, and I wish the ship had been called the Yorktown, just to pay homage to Roddenberry's original concept. And then, yeah, like with what Ragnar was saying, continuity issues always kind of bugged me. Because in the original series, they mentioned the Earth-Romulan War and that the war was fought with automated ships and all this other stuff. And they kind of tried to do that with that three-part Romulan episode in season four, but didn't really explain away anything. But like Ragnar said, if you take TOS out of it, it fits in with Next Generation. And then, yeah, of course, the worst series finale ever, which we will discuss. We won't discuss it in this episode, but I just remember watching that and, you know, just I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? This is how it ends? Oh, my God. And in hindsight, like I've seen interviews and stuff where Brian and Braga and them, they admit it. They're like, yeah, you know, like I know what they were like. Now I realize what they were trying to do. They're trying, you know, because they knew Star Trek television was coming to an end after 18 years, and it began with TNG. So they wanted to have this TNG Enterprise connection, right? Which is cool, I guess, but I would rather have seen an actual connection, like a time travel story or something, like not what we got.
As opposed to a holodeck program? That,
yeah. Okay.
With, man, don't even get me started on that.
And what?
Well, they don't even let us see the damn speech after all that.
Yeah. Well, and what Ragnar was saying about Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, like, it was same with this final episode. Like, Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, I'm sorry, but... And, you know, this episode's supposed to take place during the Pegasus episode, which was, you know, 1994.
Season
4? Season 7. It was season 7, but it was made in 1994. And I'm sorry, Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis do not look the same as they did back in 1994. You know.
No, not even a little bit. And the sets weren't even the same. Like, because they'd already deconstructed the TNG sets, they weren't the same as the ones on Enterprise. Like, the lounge area was a totally different set. The turbo lifts were different. Yeah. You know, just those kinds of things. Like, it was kind of botched because it was so rushed. But the whole holodeck thing was terrible. They could have done a million other things. That would have been even fine with like a weird rift, just like the NCC 1701C came through at the Battle of Narendra. Something, you know what I mean? Like, that would have been much better.
What I wanted to see, and we're going to be talking about this in a future episode, is like, I'm cool with having Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis reprising their roles. But why not have a crossover with the Titan? You know, why not use this as a means to kind of a backdoor pilot for the Titan, you know, like I realized they were canceled and Paramount wanted to get out of making Star Trek TV shows, but Rick Berman and them should have used this opportunity. Like, hey, let's have them have crossover with Riker on the Titan. And then people will be screaming for a Titan show and then we'll get to make it. Like, that's what I would have done.
Man, that's that would have made so much more sense.
Well, yeah, it would have explained why they look the way they look, because, I mean, people age, you know, that's 11 years past that episode. And I always wanted to see the Titan. This would have been an opportunity, you know. But anyway, I digress.
Just to throw it out there, Riker got kind of chubby, but Marina Sirtis aged really well. Yep. In my opinion, at least.
Can't confirm.
Yeah. All right, so let's end on a positive note. What's your favorite episode of Enterprise? mine is definitely that three-part episode with Brent Spiner in season 4 with the augments. I loved it.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I was on the edge of my seat, you know, for those 3 weeks. And I still remember it. I still, like, because it was Friday, it used to air Friday nights, you know, and Friday nights was our, during, like, those months, was, like, our pizza night. Like, we would order pizza, get it delivered to the house. I'd go downstairs because I had, like, my little man cave in the house we were living at, all set up, and I'd watch Enterprise on Friday nights. And I loved that three-part episode. I, you know, it was so awesome to see Brent Spiner back. And like, Scott Bakula is actually, I think, friends with Brent Spiner. So, you know, like, their chemistry, I thought, was really well in those episodes. Curtis, what's your favorite episode?
I'm right there with you, man. I loved that augment nonsense. And, yeah. Like I say, I wish I could have seen more of that, so I'm going to have to go with that all day, all night.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to give kudos to that augment chick. You know, like, her shirt's ripped right in the right spots, man. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty hot.
That's Richard, what I mean. We just got teased all over the place in that episode, and then no more.
Yeah. Persis is Abby Brommel, if you're curious.
I seen her... there's a show on Amazon called Bosch, which I really recommend. I really enjoy that show. And she was on, I can't remember what season it was. It was only a couple years ago. She played like a Homeland type of terrorist character. But I totally remembered her from this episode. Richard, your favorite episode?
Okay, so this is going to take a little bit longer because I have exactly three sets of favorite episodes.
Okay.
And I'll rank them. So my first favorite is the Kirshara set of three. It's the Forge Awakening in Kirshara. Absolutely loved it. That was super dope for the whole Vulcan history lore side of it.
Yep.
Second would be the Borderland Cold Station 12 and the Augments, which those six episodes are all basically in a row. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Absolutely awesome. Six of the best episodes in the whole series. And then in a very close third place is In a Mirror Darkly 1 and 2. The only mirror episodes of any series I've ever liked.
Yep.
So those are my favorite episodes.
Excellent. Excellent. And Ragnar, your favorite episode?
Probably my favorite episode is actually called Regeneration, which is in season 2. And it's the one where they first encounter the Borg. And I thought it was a hell of a great concept. And I was reading up about it. And apparently it was supposed to be something they were going to come back and revisit in a later season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to introduce the Borg Queen. They were going to have her as a human, and she's with the Enterprise crew, and she's going to meet the Borg and get assimilated and then eventually become their queen, which could have been like that could have been a hell of an episode too. I just thought this was a really cool concept, and I thought they pulled it off really well. And my only complaint with it is that later on in Next Generation, when Picard first encounters the Borg, there's no records of them at all. And the Enterprise had a serious enough encounter that there might have been some kind of record about them.
Yeah.
Well, but that's probably my favorite episode.
Yeah. And I was going to say, and that's the same with the Ferengi. Like, I liked that episode, mm-hmm. and I liked, you know, like, that Ethan Phillips on there, and, well, they had Jeffrey Combs playing a Ferengi, too. They had, Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard, was a Ferengi, and maybe that's it. Maybe it was just those three that I remember. But anyway, you would think, like, when on TNG they encountered the Enterprise, or encountered the Ferengi, like, the computer would have, you know, like, they would have took pictures of these guys, right? But again, it's continuity, timey-wimey stuff. Mm. All right, well, I think that's a good overview of Star Trek Enterprise, and we will be discussing more Enterprise as Trek 1701 goes forward. We are going to be breaking down each season. We'll be doing what we did on Deep Space Nine. We'll be doing like the first 12 or 13 episodes. I think they did 26 episodes a season.
I think it was 24.
Was it 24? So we'll break them into halves. But I mean, to be honest, go ahead.
Sorry, that's weird. Each season has a different number of episodes.
Okay.
I was just looking it up. Season 1 had 25, season 2 was 26, season 3 was 24, and season 4 was 22.
Huh. But anyway, yeah, we'll break them in half approximately and then discuss them. But we will be doing other Star Trek episodes. So, you know, it's not just going to be Enterprise. We are going to be mixing it up. But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. Curtis, where can we find you, sir? Or can we?
Right here.
Excellent.
That's
about it. That's a good answer.
Richard, where can we find you, sir?
Basically the same. Like, I have a couple of accounts that I actually don't even use. I'm super happy not paying attention to social media. Like, I watch YouTube, of course, and mm-hmm. whatnot, but I've been watching a lot of esports just because it's less drama.
Yeah.
So mostly just here, you know, I'm online presence mostly just right here.
Excellent. I'm also here. You can check me on Trek 1701 episodes. I'm on the Pop Culture Pub as well. And we are relaunching Geek Fallout as a quarterly podcast. But that is still to come in the next few weeks. Fingers crossed. And Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Well, of course, you can hear me on this podcast and other connected Pop Culture Pub podcasts.
Yep.
My main website, RagnarTheTrader.com.
Best website in the world.
Well, thanks, buddy. I'm also on Etsy under Ragnar the Trader. And you can find me on Instagram or Facebook as Ragnar the Trader. And in the before times, you used to find me all over Western Canada at various trade shows. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, maybe later this year, you will again.
Fingers crossed, man. I'm hoping so.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, just looking it up. All right. So our next episode of Trek 1701, we are talking about Enterprise Season 1. So it'll be the first half season or whatever. Or we'll see how far we get. Because to be honest with you, I don't have a lot to contribute because I only probably watched half of them. Even though I watched them like 20 years ago. you know, it's and doing the rewatch, it was kind of cool, you know, because there's things I forgot. So our next episode, we are going to be discussing season one of Enterprise. All right, well, on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, Ragnar, and Richard and Curtis, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to Trek 1701. This was our Enterprise series overview, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.